You know, sometimes the world doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, except on the basketball court.
This is the show for the real hoopers. Welcome to The Right Call with Zay Collier. Now, it's time. Buckle up for The Right Call with Zay Collier on The Horn.
Austin, Texas, what's really popping? This is the show for the real hoopers. That means that first time you saw Big Game James go coast to coast, scoop it up with the layup, or the first time you saw Pat Ewing, John Starks, Johnny went baseline, dunked on Mike and Horace Grant. They took Mike off the baseball card. Or the first time you saw D. Wade drive that lane and fall multiple times, but he still finished that layup, and you're wondering to yourself, how the hell did that thing go in? What's really good? I am him. He is I am him. Zay Collier, welcome to The Right Call. Episode 9 is going down. It's going down. Appreciate everybody for rocking with me. Catch us on all platforms, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, hornfm.com. Might be your easiest outlet. Catch your boy on Twitter. Ain't that underscore Zay. Hit me up on the specs text line for all your basketball questions at 512-337-3776. We got a jam-packed show. Y'all just heard Chris Beard and Craig Way, Longhorn Weekly. Great show. Great show. Gotta get y'all ready for Iowa State. Oh, man. Couple of tough losses for the Texas Longhorns, losing to Oklahoma State on Saturday. They lost to Iowa State this past Saturday, lost to Kansas State on Tuesday. We're gonna talk about those games. Gonna get that NBA My Bookie Friday picks of the night, little NBA talk. Then we go to end the night with You Think You Tough. Y'all know how we do on The Right Call on The Horn. But first off, I love coaching. Coaching is very important. Coaching is a lot about managing players, understanding players. And I'm a coach's son, so I'm going to talk about coaching a lot. When people do GOAT debates for the greatest players of all time, I somehow squeeze coaching in there because a lot of people seem to forget that without a great coach, how can a player be great? You can't just go out there and start dribbling and do everything on your own. There has to be some type of guidance. You heard me? So if Doug Collins would have stayed with the Bulls, would they have all those rings? I don't know. But when Phil came in the game, things changed. It wasn't just Mike. It wasn't just Scotty. You know what I'm saying? So coaching is big with me. You know, Phil Jackson went from Jordan and Pippen to Kobe and Shaq. You know, he's on my Mount Rushmore. Greg Popovich, he went from having David Robinson and Tim Duncan to more of a guard-centric, even though Timmy was the man, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. He's also on my Mount Rushmore. Chuck Daly, on my Mount Rushmore, being able to handle the Bad Boy Pistons. Larry Brown, being able to go from the college game, Danny Manning, 88, winning at Kansas, to the NBA game, being able to control and coach an Allen Iverson-type player and then win a championship with the 2004 Detroit Pistons. You know, coaching is big, but one coach that always sticks out to me, especially on the topic that I'm going to get into, is Pat Riley, one of my favorite coaches of all time. And the reason why Pat Riley's one of my favorite coaches is his ability to adapt with the teams that he had during his coaching career. And it all started with the Los Angeles Showtime Lakers. Like, you know, everybody remembers Showtime as the glitz and glamour and, you know, the pizzazz and the Forum Club. Like, you know, Jerry Buss was wildin'. They got the Showtime Lakers HBO series, which is about to come out. That's definitely going to tell a lot. But Jerry Buss had the club down low. It was kind of like the Playboy mansion in a way. And they did things big. But at the end of the day, they won games. You know, they were tough. I remember, well, this was before my day, but I do my research. I remember watching film on Pat Riley talking about no rebounds, no rings. You know, that was big for the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, from Magic and the passes and the pizzazz and the way Magic was able to control the team with his flair, but also with his toughness. Like, Magic was a Michigan cat, so Magic was tough, Michigan State cat, but so Magic was tough. To Kareem, who, you know, he was tough in his own right. He might not be the loudest person. Kareem definitely wasn't no Kevin Garnett. He ain't gonna cuss you out. He wouldn't back down either. To Big Game James, Kurt Rambis, Michael Cooper, Brian Scott. Like, they had dudes. They had dudes that were tough, but they could also run up and down the court and score with anybody in the league. Some of the best teams ever were those Los Angeles Lakers teams. When Pat Riley moved on, he went to the New York Knicks, 91. Completely changed his persona. Like, still had the clean Armani suit, still had the slick back hair, but it was just a different vibe in New York. Why was that? Because he had different players. He had Patrick Ewing. He had Mark Jackson at a point. Then they traded Mark Jackson for Doc Rivers, but those same type of tough players. Mark Jackson, talked about him last week when I was talking about the Big East, comparing it to the Big 12. He's a New York cat, went to St. John's, tough. John Starks, talked about him before on this show. He was bagging groceries. He's like the NBA version of Kurt Warner. He's tough as hell. Anthony Mason, tough. People thought Anthony Mason, I think he, like, somebody said he put a hit out on somebody. There's a rumor that he put a hit out on somebody or his own coach because he wasn't getting the minutes that he deserved. Tough. Charles Oakley, do I have anything else to say? This man was fighting people in the Knicks crowd, in the stands, as a grown-ass man, out the league. So those are the type of players that Pat Riley was dealing with. Now, Pat Riley could have said, you know what, my way or the highway. I'm going to bring that Showtime Lakers pizzazz to New York because that's the only style that I know how to play. That's the style that I'm accustomed to. But it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked because you can't have Mark Jackson, even though Mark Jackson's top five in assists of all time, he can't be Magic. He just can't. You can't have Patrick Ewing, even though he's one of the greatest centers of all time, he can't be Kareem. There, you know, Anthony Mason can't be no James Worthy. Pat Riley knew that. So he had to play a different brand of basketball. The things that Pat Riley was doing with the Knicks, he couldn't do with the Lakers. Peep game on this. Pat Riley, how nuts he was with the Knicks. He would, like, play videos of cars crashing into each other and ridiculous things like that. His coaching tactics were nuts. Like, he would hold his breath underwater for minutes at a time and then come up gasping for breath and say, man, y'all should want to win as much as I, you know, want that last breath. Yo, if my coach ever does that, you're going to have to take me off the team because coach ain't all there. Something's off about coach. Like, yeah, I kind of hear what you're trying to say, coach. I want to win too, but living and winning are two completely different things. But that's the dedication he was to Pat Riley. And I wasn't on those Knicks teams for a reason. You know, God knew that I couldn't be on those Knicks teams. But those Knicks, they probably took that. And they probably rolled with it. Now, the Knicks didn't win any championships. That was the Jordan era. I mean, come on. Like, at the end of the day, you could be as tough as you want. But when you face it tough with skill, the tough with skill is going to beat the just tough every time. And that's what you saw with Jordan and those Knicks teams. With Hakeem, I don't really know what happened there. You could go look at Game 7 where John Starks went like 2-for-18. So that's a different story for a different day, but they still had success in New York. Moving on, Pat Riley again went from New York to Miami. Had to adapt there. Realized, hey, I got Tim Hardaway. I got Alonzo Mourning, Dan Majerle. We're a good team. I'm not going to have Tim Hardaway play like John Starks. I can't do it. Tim's known for his crossover. He's known for breaking people down. He's not known for getting under people's skin and making them want to fight you like Starks was. Pat Riley could have easily said, hey, I'm going to bring this type of philosophy over here. I'm going to show these same car crashing videos and I'm going to jump in this pool and try to drown myself over here in Miami too. The water's probably a little prettier in Miami than it is New York to try to gasp for your breath in, but I digress. He's going to adapt to the team that he had. And again, that was the Jordan era with those Dan Majerle, Tim Hardaway, Alonzo Mourning teams. What can you do? What can you do? But then Pat Riley took a break. I say took a break as he became a part of the front office for the Heat. But then he came back, 06. I know, Mavs fans, close your ears, Mavs fans. I won't be on this long. But he came back in 06 with the Miami Heat when Stan Van Gundy got the boot. D-Wade now, Antoine Walker, White Chocolate Jason Williams. All those guys, Antoine Walker, Jason Williams, they're at different points of their career. Shaq Diesel. He's at a different point of his career. Pat Riley could easily go back to the 80s and say, you know what? Let's try to bring some showtime to this Miami Heat team. Pat Riley could have easily went back to the 90s and said, you know what? Let's bring some of this New York nasty, you know, go New York, go vibe back to Miami. But he didn't. Why? Because Magic Johnson ain't D-Wade. John Starks ain't D-Wade. Patrick Ewing ain't Shaquille O'Neal. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar ain't Shaquille O'Neal. You got to adapt to the players you had. Pat Riley did that. Pat Riley ended up winning a championship. Another one when the game has really passed him in a way. Like, he's been pretty far away from the game during 2006 from those glory Showtime Lakers days in the 80s and that 90s run with the Knicks and the Miami Heat. But the man adapted. And I know NBA is different from college. It is. And that gets to the Texas Longhorns, who are dealing with a plethora of new players, 7 transfers to go with the 4 returning guys. It's been a struggle to mesh all those guys together. It has. And Coach Beard, he said it was going to be like this. Before the season, he said, time is not on our side. That's what we're playing against. We're playing against a lot of time because the guys that we have now, we got to get them on the same page. We got to get them on the same page as what the philosophy that Coach Beard and that coaching staff are trying to put out on the court. But sometimes what you're bringing from the last place to this place might not match up because of the player personnel that you have. Doesn't match up either. And it's easy to forget about that on the college level. I think college coaches get so caught up in being able to control the culture, control the narrative, and try to make everything my way or the highway. And sometimes that's just not realistic. Sometimes that doesn't, you know, benefit the team that you have now. Now, for the long run, yes, you want your culture. You want that mentality, you know, that you're trying to build. You want that for the future. But this team right here that Coach Beard has, this Texas Longhorn basketball team, I think there's some things that you just have to change. And it might go against your pride a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay. You know, some coaches and some players don't understand a certain coach's philosophy because they're not used to it or they don't work that way. And I can hear the old heads right now talking about, oh, Zay, what do you mean? Like, you know, these kids are soft nowadays. These kids don't understand how it works. Back in my day, boy, you know, we listened to our coach. We did whatever we said. Okay, cool, old man River. Cool. Back in your day, people were throwing chairs and punching kids and doing other stuff, too. You can't do that no more. Kids are different. Kids have changed. Kids operate different. These are still kids, even though these are young men. In a way, they're still kids, even though they're professional athletes in a way, because they are getting paid with NIL. They're still different types of kids. So, you know, if you're basically taking the team in that these aren't the kids that you picked, except for the seven that you got from the transfer. The four others, they're guys that want to stay. They're guys that are trying to buy into your system, which there's some of them are second-guessing themselves. I'm talking about Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey, who had both had 5 points against Kansas State. Sometimes guys like that are second-guessing themselves because they're afraid of what's going to come if they don't do certain things right to the exact T. And those are really good players who are really good with the ball in their hands. But if you can't improvise sometimes, or if you're afraid to improvise because you're looking for the greatest shot, then who is that benefiting? You know, it's hard to balance that as a coach. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that it's very difficult for this coaching staff to balance their, hey, we're doing these things our way, and you need to adapt, and the, hey, I trust you, even if you make a mistake type moment, I'm going to leave you in the game. Because some of these rotations are very interesting and don't make much sense. You know, I go back to the Kansas State game, for example. One instance that happened, Devin Askew, he got a steal, then got a layup. He got hype on the layup, stealing layup too. Ah, yelling in the crowd. Face was getting red. You know, he's a beige brother, so his face get red when he get hype. Devin Askew get, ah. I hear the whistle. Now Devin Askew's coming out the game. Why? Why? Basketball's all about rhythm. Basketball's all about confidence. If I have a guy that's playing well, even if my rotations are a certain way, sometimes I have to halt those rotations. Sometimes you have to go with your gut and say, you know what, Devin's playing well right now. Marcus, I'm going to give you 2 more minutes and see where this goes. That puts so much trust in your team. Another instance in the game, defensively, Dylan Dessou, who's really been struggling. I think Dylan's been struggling lately because, again, he's coming back from his knee injury, so it's going to be up and down a little bit, but he's at the point where his offensive game isn't coming along, so he's looking over his shoulder every chance he gets because he knows if he messes up defensively, since his offensive game hasn't been working, he's been on a short leash. That play where, you know, they were trying to force Mark Smith baseline of Kansas State, who killed, by the way. He dropped 20 on those boys. He was finishing, bodying up, finishing on the other side, left side with the right hand. That was nasty. He was getting to the cup. Mark Smith's nice. But one of the plays that was really eye-opening for me during the Kansas State game was Mark Smith had the ball in his hands. They were trying to force him baseline. The screen was coming for him toward the middle, but they were icing him baseline. Timmy Allen was guarding him, forcing him towards the baseline. Dylan Dessou was supposed to be there to help. He wasn't there. He wasn't. And then the strength coach yelled at him when Mark Smith scored. I heard Timmy Allen get hype with him, kind of, come on, D. You know, Coach Beard kind of, you know, gasped in a way when that happened. So it was just a bad play by Dylan. You didn't see him much after that. You know, and again, I'm not one to be, you know, to say, you know, you should get away with these mislaps or you should get away with these turnovers or not be penalized. I get it. You should be penalized to a certain extent, but you got to trust your guys, too. You got to. I don't think you can have guys looking over your shoulder. There's a balance between making guys feel like, hey, there's a sense of urgency and you could be replaced if you don't play up to par or the way we need you to play. And then there's the balance of, hey, I know you messed up there, but I'm going to let you play through that because I trust you and I want you to get a rhythm and I want you to be confident in your game. And I think that's one of the biggest issues with Texas right now, because playing Tristan Lacone, that ain't going to get it. I love Tristan Lacone. I love the story. I call him Ollie Lacone because he reminds me of Ollie from Hoosiers. If you haven't seen Hoosiers, go watch Hoosiers. It's a classic movie. But y'all remember little Ollie? He got no playing time on the team, but when coach called his name, he was ready. He shot that shot, got fouled, hit two free throws, took the team to the championship. So maybe Chris Beard sees something in Tristan Lacone where he's going to pull some Ollie-type performance in March. I don't know. Maybe he's getting them ready now. I don't know. But what I do know is that if Tristan Lacone is playing right now, that is not good, because, A, you're either trying to send a message to the guys who should be playing by saying, hey, this guy's a walk-on and he gets the job done. You need to look at yourself in the mirror. Or you trust Tristan Lacone more than you trust the guys that should be on the court, which is a huge issue. So I don't think that's time to really figure things out. It's time to simplify the game, put the ball in guys' hands, and give them the confidence that they need. So sometimes you can't trip over turnovers. Sometimes you can't trip over certain laps on defense, you know. As a coach, you bring guys over and correct that and then get those guys back in the game. Because you know guys are playing hard. It's not that guys aren't playing hard. It's just that guys aren't playing smart. When you have over 20-something turnovers against Iowa State, that's not playing smart. You know what I'm saying? When on the scouting report where it says we're going to ice Mark Smith the whole game and force him baseline and you don't do that, that's not playing very smart. But you can't completely penalize guys by taking them out the game and getting them out of a rhythm and just throwing out, you know, random lineups out there just because you're trying to prove a point. With the Big 12 and how tough it is, sometimes you just got to ride things out, and I think that's what you have to do moving forward. That's going to give your team so much more confidence, and I think that's going to benefit them down the line. And again, Chris Beard, we know what he does in March, so it's kind of premature to judge what's going on right now. Like 13-5, it hasn't looked too good. They've lost 2 in a row, 3-3 in the Big 12. But we know what Chris Beard does in March, and that's what they're going to be judged for. Last year's Texas Longhorn team, they lost in the first round but won the Big 12 tournament. What do we remember? The loss in the first round. That's what we're going to remember with this Chris Beard team in his first year. And I think that there's still promise with this team, but there are certain things that they got to change, and they got to change quick. So before we get to the Zay Collier My Bookie picks for the Friday night, let me tell y'all about my good friend Aaron and his wife Courtney at Native Roots Real Estate. It's their own brokerage, which gives you a unique perspective because they're both from the ATX. That's right. Aaron is from South Austin, ride or die. They're relatable because Aaron's a former D1 point guard, so he's a true hooper, a real hooper. They're honest, hardworking, and they over-communicate, so you're never wondering or confused about your future home, because buying and selling the house can be overwhelming, but it shouldn't be. With over 8 years of combined experience with Courtney and Aaron in real estate, they've learned to navigate, because this competitive real estate market is nuts. So you should be on the market every day, staying on top of trends and focusing on their clients, just like Aaron and Courtney do. They're genuinely one of the best because they choose your interests over theirs, and their expertise is helping you buy, sell, invest in real estate. So they help build and maintain their relationships with you, which is going to help your goal, and that's buying your dream home. That's what you want. It's ATX. You want your dream home, right? So they over-communicate. They're always available, and you can contact them at nativerootsaustin.com or 512-944-4484. That's 512-944-4484. All right, we'll be back Got to pay those bills. Going to get into some serious NBA talk. Whew, man, I got to get some water. But we'll be right back. This is The Right Call on the Horn.
Oh, 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 oh.
Man, welcome back to The Right Call with Zay Collier. Sometimes I just got to rock out to the beat because it's fire. You can find me at 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Yo, y'all are wilding on the Specs text line tonight. Listen to what this fool said. Sorry I call you fool, but when you say wild stuff like this, I got to call you out.
Zay, those dudes have had 3 years to be in the rhythm, and they still aren't good consistently. Same mistakes now as when they showed up.
Well, I don't know what that means. Obviously, you're talking about Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones. And what, like, for one, you we know what they are. Okay? They're not guys who we're going to see in the lottery next year in the 2022 draft. But those guys could score when they have the ball in their hands. They were pretty good last year. You know, they're not the biggest guys, both of them around 6'3", 6'4", but they play hard. And you got to give them confidence. Like, if you're looking over your shoulder every minute because you know if you mess up or miss certain shots or don't take certain shots or you're just thinking all the time, then it's going to result in inconsistent play like we've seen. But if you have a secure feeling about yourself because you know coach is going to ride with you no matter what, and all you got to do is play hard, you mean well at the end of the day, then that's going to change your confidence. And I think we're going to see a huge turnaround if that happens. But, you know, there's certain things that has to get changed. I'm sorry. It's just what it is. Another person said, Lacombe playing isn't the issue. The problem is Ramey and Jones are only decent out of one of every six games. Like I said, and there was more to be said there. Somebody kept on writing, but like I said, if I know Tristan Lacombe is coming in the game, my mindset is going to be different. I'm sorry. It is. Because I know he's a walk-on and he shouldn't be playing over me. That might be a little prima donna-ish, but that's just what it is. He shouldn't be playing over me. Like I said, if he is, then there's a bigger problem. There's a bigger problem. But it's hard to have confidence when you got the walk-on coming in the game, getting significant minutes, going from D3 to the best conference in college basketball. That's a problem. Let me get to NBA. We all messed my night up. Shoot. Already can't go home because it's cold as hell and it's sleeting and stuff. So your boy's already sitting pretty tonight. He's going to stay at the station because I got B&E tomorrow morning. That's the radio grind. So, yeah, I might be a little antsy. You know what I'm talking about? But it's all good. Let's get into some NBA, all right? So it's time for Zay Collier's My Bookie Friday Night Picks of the Week. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with My Bookie. All right. Let's start with the Thunder and the Hornets. League pass game. Like I say every week about the Thunder, love Shea, love Josh Giddey, but they're awful. They are sitting at a 14th seed. You know, they got all those picks and stuff. I don't know what they're going to do for them. I know everybody wants Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Everybody. Why wouldn't you? Like, he's a top 40 player in the league. He's absolutely ridiculous. But are the Thunder willing to trade him? I don't think so. The Hornets, on the other hand, they beat the Bucks twice and beat Philly, but then lost to the Magic. So who knows what, you know, Hornets team you're going to find. When you have young teams, I talk about the Hornets every week. When you have young teams like that, you're going to see that inconsistency. You just are. That's what you see with young teams. LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges, Rozier, all those guys, they get buckets and whatnot, but sometimes they could get a little complacent and off track just by being young. I don't know why. It's just the history of the league. I got the Hornets. Come on. Lakers Magic. Frank Vogel, hot seat. Russell Westbrook, benched. They benched him. This guy's going to the Hall of Fame. Easy. First ballot. 75 greatest players of all time. Hasn't hit 20 points in the last seven games. Russell Westbrook, really? And you know what, Frank Vogel, he doesn't deserve the hot seat at all. Russell Westbrook, I don't think he deserves the criticism that everybody on every talk show has given him. I don't think that's fair. I think when Anthony Davis gets back, and they have a little time with him without their big three. We don't know how good this team really is. It's not fair to judge Russell Westbrook without Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis changes so much to a team and changes the way another team and another organization looks at the Lakers. If I'm going into the game with no Anthony Davis, then I'm going to change my scouting report to the T where I focus on Russell Westbrook more, or maybe I don't focus on Russell Westbrook with the way he's been shooting. I don't know, but you can't judge the Lakers without Anthony Davis. I don't think it's fair for Russell. I don't think it's fair for Frank Vogel. The Magic, on the other hand, they play hard. They're just not very good. So, yeah, they're sitting at the 15th seed in the East. The Lakers are sitting at the 8th seed of the West. I'm going to take the Lakers in this game. Just a gut feeling. I don't know. Clippers versus the 76ers. Paul George is out for another month or so with that elbow injury. Who knows when Kawhi Leonard's going to come back. So there's only so much Reggie Jackson could do. I mean, I just, the Clippers are in a really tough situation. The 76ers, on the other hand, they've won 10 of the last 12. Joel Embiid's been playing like an MVP. Like I said last week, Joel Embiid, what can't he do? Like 50 against the Magic the other night. Mo Bamba was trying to check him. He only had 27 minutes, still dropped 50. It's just like you got a guy who's doing Kareem stuff. He's doing Hakeem stuff. Then he'll take you out to the perimeter, put it between his legs, pump fake you. He does jab steps where he has the ball low to the ground like a guard, like swinging the ball low, rip throughs. You know what I'm saying? Like guard-like rip-throughs and triple threats and stuff, jab works. Like, it's just ridiculous what he's doing. If he doesn't get MVP, then, you know, obviously something went really south for the Philadelphia 76ers, because I think with Kevin Durant out, then Philly's going to be able to move up. Right now, they're at the fifth seed. They're right behind the Bucks. Right behind the Bucks. While the Clippers are at the ninth seed, I got Philly. They've looked too good lately not to go with them. Hawks versus the Heat. This is in Atlanta. Bam Adebayo is back from that hand injury. Jimmy Butler is back too. The Hawks just traded Cam Reddish. Trae Young is starting to finally find his groove and really dominate. Some of his stat line has been just absolutely stupid. And you see Trae Young with the nutmeg between the legs? Between the legs? That's just, he does it on a regular basis. And it feels weird talking about a guy from Norman on the horn, but we have to talk true hoopers, real hoopers. That's what the show is for. Trae Young, wow, man, he is impressive. And the comparison he always gets is Steph Curry, but he's a way better passer than Steph. Like, it's not even close. He's a better creator than Steph was at this point of his career and Steph's career. Steph is way better at moving without the ball. I haven't really seen Trae Young have to do that yet because the ball's always in his hands, and clearly Steph Curry's the better player, but Trae Young, man, he is absolutely scary. The Hawks as a team are really inconsistent. You know, they've won 4 out of the last 10, not too good, while the Heat, they've been playing pretty well, even without Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. Tyler Hero, I think he's going to get 6th man of the year. They got all these random guys that they just pull up from, you know, G League program. Pat Riley talked about him earlier in the first segment. He's one of the greatest basketball minds that we've ever seen. We see that as a basketball GM type, and we've seen it as a coach. So I'm going to go with the Miami Heat tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks. Now we got the we got the Portland Trail Blazers versus the Boston Celtics. The Blazers are 5-5 in their last 10. No Dame, but CJ's back. Boston is 6-4 in their last 10. Excuse me. But Blazers, they lost to the Heat the other night. Both teams are kind of up and down. Blazers are a 10th seed. Celtics are a 9th seed. I mean, this Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum thing, I don't know if it's getting any better. One guy will have a good game. The other guy will have a horrible game. Dennis Schroeder, you know, they're not going to keep him next year. Like, they got him for a steal this year, but he's playing well. I don't know. It's just they're at the ninth seed. Blazers, I know they're not going to be good until Dame gets back, so they're going to just stick around at the 10th seed, maybe get worse. That's a coin flip tomorrow. I'm going to go Celtics just because they're at home. Raptors, Wizards, Fran VanVleet talked about him being DJ Augustine on steroids last week, one of my favorite players. He better be an all-star. He is averaging like around 30-something in their last 10 games. They won 6 out of those games, while the Wizards are starting off, who started off pretty hot, 500 in their last 10 games. Spencer Dinwiddie and Bradley Beal, kind of like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they don't play well together. They just don't. They're trying to figure it out. Bradley Beal likes to have the ball in his hands. Spencer Dinwiddie likes to have the ball in his hands. They're both scorers, so it's interesting. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's came off the bench majority of his career. So him starting, I mean, it's good, but they just got to figure out some things. Like, they went from being a second seed, third seed at the beginning of the season, first 20-something games. Now we're in the 45, 46. They're sitting at the eighth seed, while only a half game up to the Raptors, who are sitting at the 10th seed, who OG Adenobe and Pascal Siakam, they're starting to play a lot better, too. If they could come around, they can make some noise in the play-in game. I like the Raptors in that game. Moving on to the Bulls versus Bucks. Jrue Holiday's back from his ankle injury, came off the bench the other night. If the Bucks have their big three, they're almost unstoppable. Their big three, if once they're all locked in, they're as good as any big three in the league. I'm talking Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. But the Bulls, on the other hand, they're kind of reeling back from, you know, even though they're the number one seed, Lonzo Ball just tore his meniscus. He might be out 2 months. Zach LaVine hurt his knee, so he won't be playing against Milwaukee. So that's a lot on DeMar DeRozan's shoulders. I got Milwaukee tomorrow night. Nets versus Spurs. The league's wide open now that KD has gotten hurt, especially for the East. You know, with Kyrie only playing away games for obvious reasons, that's a lot on James Harden now, where, again, the offense is meant to run through KD while everybody else plays off KD. So there's rumors that James Harden might not be happy long term. He might be looking for a different place next year. You know, Kyrie had a really good game against the Wizards the other night, dropping 30, his best game of the season. And he'll play against San Antonio since it's an away game, but San Antonio, they've just been awful, which is sad because, you know, Pop doesn't have too many games left. So, you know, going 2 wins out of 12 games, that's not good at all. But DeJounte Murray, he's the biggest bright spot on the team. Him and Luka are the only guys averaging over, what, 18 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. That's ridiculous, and they're not going to trade them. They shouldn't, but DeJounte Murray, he's going to be those guy, one of that those guys that get snubbed from the All-Star, which sucks, but it happens when you're sitting at like one of the worst teams in the league, San Antonio. 12th seed, brutal. So hard to make the All-Star team when you're not winning. Grizzlies versus, that's Nets all day. Sorry. Grizzlies versus Nuggets. Grizzlies have won 8 out of their last 10 games. Lost to the Bucks last night. Like I said, when the big three's on the court, it's hard to win games with the Bucks. Jaren Jackson Jr. has been incredible defensively. He's really coming into his own. I still love the Grizzlies. Steven Adams gives them an old school grit and grind toughness that they never had. Ja Morant, he's up for MVP talks. He's going to be an all-star for the first time in his really exciting career. A lot of promise for the Grizzlies. The Nuggets, everything rides on Nikola Jokic. 49, 14, 10, triple-double. Nuts, man. Absolutely nuts. The pass he made, getting double-teamed, being 7 foot, being able to see over those guys, throwing it across the court to Aaron Gordon to ice the game. Just Nikola Jokic is somebody that we've never seen before, but I got to go with the Grizzlies. Steven Adams, that's a tough matchup. Grizzlies all day, even though it's in Denver. Pistons, Jazz, Cade Cunningham's been hooping, but he needs to cut them turnovers down. They've won 5 out of the last 10, which ain't bad. It's not bad, but, you know, Cade Cunningham cut those turnovers down. Other than that, shooting over 40% from 3 in the last 5 games, 18 points. He's starting to become that number one pick that we've all, you know, thought he was going to be. While the Jazz have been struggling, they have won 3 out of their last 10. Rudy Gobert missed 4 games with COVID. Donovan Mitchell, he's out right now. Jordan Clarkson isn't playing like he did last year when he won 6th Man of the Year. So look out for that Utah Jazz team who's still sitting at the 4th seed, but they got to get everybody back healthy so they can really, really focus on this after All-Star run and make a run for the playoffs. I got Jazz tomorrow, though. They're going to bounce back. Rockets Warriors to finish up Friday night. Warriors need Draymond back bad. Bad offensively and defensively. He covers everything on defense because he could guard 1 through 5. He talks on defense like a madman, and he helps out everybody on the court. Offensively, he sets up Steph, Clay with his passing, his screens, him knowing everybody on the court. He's basically a point forward. So the fact that they haven't had him is a big reason why they've lost a lot of games. And he's going to be out for a little while too with that calf injury. So Warriors, whew, good luck with no Draymond. Even though y'all are sitting at number 2, it's still going to be tough without that homie from Michigan State. While the Rockets, who have the worst defensive rating in the league, that basically tells you what you need to know about the Rockets. So when you're the 15th team in the Western Conference, it's pretty brutal. Paolo Banchero sweepstakes. Chet Holmgren sweepstakes. Jabari Smith, Auburn sweepstakes. All those guys, they're going to be the top 3 picks in the draft. The Rockets want one of those guys, and that's what they're playing for. So I got the Warriors tomorrow, and that closes out the MyBookie Friday Night Picks of the Week. I'm going to come back with You Think You Tough. This is the Horn 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We'll be back with The Right Call.
104, not all loans apply. Equalizing lender.
It's The Right Call on The Horn.
Welcome back to The Right Call with Zay Collier. Appreciate everybody. Episode 9's going down. The Horns got Oklahoma State at the Irwin Center Saturday, 1 p.m. You can catch that on this station, The Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Big time game. They need it. Bad. Bad. Somebody on the Specs text line said it seems that when a guy hits a 3, oftentimes the coach pulls him out, like Askew, for example. Yeah, it does seem that way. I don't know if these guys are on a certain minutes restriction where certain guys are going to get minutes regardless, or you know, because Coach Beard always talks about 4-minute, you know, periods. Like he likes to take every 20 minutes, make them in 4-minute, you know, periods, because there's TV timeouts. So I don't know if there's going to be guys that are set up to play in the 12-minute part of the 4 minutes or the 8-minute part of 4 minutes. I don't know. Who knows? Chris Beard will be on Bucky and Aaron tomorrow at 8:25, so in AM, so check that out. But yeah, I have no idea why he does some of the substitutions that he does. It is very questionable sometimes and very confusing, but hopefully it benefits this team, you know, when they're dancing in March. Another person said, what are you talking about, Willis? We talking about Willis. You were born when the Bad Boy Pistons weren't around. Barely. Or you were born when the Bad Boy Pistons were around. Yeah, I was, barely. Like, when the Bad Boy Pistons won their first ring, I was not alive. When they won their second, actually, I really wasn't alive. I was born 91, beginning of 91, February, and that's when Jordan was ready to take them boys out. So I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, let's get to one of my favorite segments of the parts of the show, You Think You're Tough. And this week, what I saw in You Think You're Tough, let's go to Los Angeles. The Lakers played the Utah Jazz, one of their few wins in a while. And Russell Westbrook, who's been struggling all season, dunked on arguably the best shot blocker in the NBA in Rudy Gobert. Now, when you dunk on somebody, not many people have dunked on people who are listening to this show, but I have been blessed enough to have enough hops to kind of dunk on somebody in my day. And there's an adrenaline that goes through you that sometimes is uncontrollable. Now, I'm not saying I'm Dominique Wilkins, but I've dunked on one or two people in my day. Could I dunk on anybody now? Hell to the no, but I have dunked on one or two people in my day. And that adrenaline that goes through you, you start saying stuff, you start getting hype in ways that you probably don't even know. And we know Russell Westbrook is a guy with a lot of enthusiasm already. And when you dunk on the best shot blocker in the league, this guy's been a three-time defensive player of the year. And when you've been having a season like Russell Westbrook has, where it's been a roller coaster, a lot of the times been down, you've been really struggling, you have the right to get a technical foul and go crazy and hype like you did. The ref, you shouldn't have given you a tech. That's bogus. Referees, stop giving techs on guys when they stare down people after a dunk. It's a part of the game. And it's not a coincidence that a lot of these refs are about 5'8", maybe, probably couldn't touch the little box under the goal that makes the sound when you swish it, and have never or will never ever dunk on anybody in their life. And these officials, again, I'm the best official in Austin, Texas history. I never gave techs on dunks, ever. When somebody got dunked on, sorry, hey, you shouldn't have been there, homie. What am I supposed to do? And that ref,
you think you're tough.
You think you're tough? You're really not, my guy. Officials everywhere, stop giving techs on dunks. Stop giving techs on guys who like to slap the backboard on a dunk. It's fun. It's a part of the game. It's not taunting. Unless if somebody calls you a mother or a bleep, then maybe you could give a tech. But Kevin Garnett retired, so it don't matter. Appreciate everybody for rocking with me. Episode 9 of The Right Call. The episode will be on SoundCloud, on the Horn SoundCloud. Catch me on B&E tomorrow, early morn. Shirts and skids, 12 to 3. Right Call every week. We'll be back next week. Go to the Irwin Center, watch the game. Tune in here on the Horn, wherever the game's going to be called. Appreciate everybody for rocking with me. At the end of the day, if the ball rolls your way, you better shoot that thing. Zay Collier, I'm out.